to a pattern of what you do things, and then something happens, and you can't follow that pattern and just feel like it's all out of whack. Maybe you have something you do each morning before you get to work, and then maybe you just got up late and you don't have your coffee, and you felt like your whole day is turned around. Well, we weren't upstairs this morning for Sunday school. We were down here and had things to get ready. I just feel discombobulated. Is that a real word? I hear it used all the time, discombobulated. So I feel discombobulated. So, which is better than an inappropriate growth spot.
There you go.
So if discombobulated is a word, I hope by the end of the sermon I'll be recombobulated.
And also Larry's got science stuff going on.
Oh. So if you would, take your Bibles and turn as we go back once again to the book of Colossians. As I was in last week, prior to last Sunday, as I was wrestling with my message for the coming week, and I kept going back and forth, am I going to continue reading Colossians, or I'm going to preach a holiday sermon, and wrestle back and forth with that. And I won't say that I was wrestling with God like Jacob, but I was wrestling in my own mind about which sermon, and I felt comfortable leading us last week as we looked at our Thanksgiving sermon. And so it's time to go back to the book of Colossians as I was bringing myself back into studying Colossians chapter 3, where we're at, and continuing through in our verse-by-verse study of this New Testament book. I kept being drawn back to the verse that we were at already. And so 2 weeks in a row, I did something kind of unusual out of my pattern. First week, I preached on only one verse, only there in Colossians chapter 3, where what God calls us to be. The next week, I left from my book that I was teaching in and preached on a holiday message. And today, I'm going to go ahead and make it a trifactor and go 3 weeks in a row. And I'm going to take from that same verse that we were preaching at from earlier and then just kind of go off in a topical study. And then, Lord willing, we'll be back into looking a little more verse by verse in Colossians chapter 3. Saying, if you're able, as we give honor and reverence to the Holy Word of God, as they stood, as they currently turned back to the land of Israel after being taken captive and exiled to Babylon, they came back and the Word of God was read, and they stood as God's Word was read. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, and today's message is entitled, Holy and Holy. Holy and Holy. You'll understand a little bit more about that in just a moment. Verse number 12 of Colossians 3, put on therefore as an elect of God, holy and beloved. And that's what we looked at 2 weeks ago, that we are the elect of God, we are holy, and we are beloved. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing with one another, forgiving one another, even as any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Verse 14, above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectionists, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. The Word of God tells us here to be thankful. And we are so thankful that we have the Word of God to study, to lead us, to guide us, to correct us, to challenge us, to comfort us. That your word is a sword. Your word is a hammer. Your word is a light. Your word is everything that we need. And so, Lord, we love it. We honor it. And we give praise to you for giving it to us. And, Father, today as we look at this message, I pray that you would help us to be both holy and holy as we see what your word says. And, Father, we would be striving that our lives would be more and more like the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That our separation unto you would be more evident to ourselves and to the others that we live with and work with and have relationship with. And so, Father, again, we thank you for giving us this place of worship, giving us the Word of God, giving us the fellowship of the union in your Spirit and in your Word. So bless this time now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. some of you, if you've gotten to know me a little bit more and more over time, you already agree with me and others that know me that I'm a little bit different. Some people call me weird and strange. One of the things about me that some people consider to be weird and strange is I like studying. I like studying the Bible. I like studying other things. I like studying things about woodworking, how to do new methods and things like that. I like studying theology. I like studying what other people believe and teach. And I enjoy that. And one other thing that I enjoy studying is, and I don't do it enough, but I like still like studying the English language. In school, I wish I would have paid closer attention, been better student with the English language. Some of you probably listen to me, and if you ever get a letter from me or a note from me, you probably say, well, you butcher the English language, awful. I try to get better. Many years ago, I was at Ace Used Bookstore up in Culpeper, and I loved going there. They had wonderful books. They were categorized, and I found a book there, and it was a book of the English language. And in that book, at the beginning, it had exercises. And it had a general exercise, and you were to mark whether the sentence was correct or if there was something wrong with it. Then you went to the back of the book, and there was the correction guide. In that correction guide, you saw if you got your exercise correct, and beside each answer was a page number and a rule number. This English book had exercise at the beginning and answers at the end, but in the middle of it, it had a rule section. I foolishly loaned that book out to somebody, and I do not know who. I've been searching and asking people for years. At the time, I was teaching school, and I had it in the chapel when I'd have breaks in chapel, or some years when I'd show a video, and I'd show that video about 150 times a month, and I would just kind of work on that, watching the kids, and then I would work on it. And somewhere or another, I lost that. So I have bought some other ones, but none like that. Now, there's another problem with that. I don't know who the author was, and I don't remember the title of the book. So I can't Google it. And I've ordered many of them online, hoping that's going to be the one, and get it only to be disappointed. So I've got this growing bookshelf of English manuals, but still haven't got the one that I want. I do know one thing for certain. I didn't loan it to any of y'all because I didn't know y'all back then. But I like studying the English language. Our English language is structured, has its foundations upon many other languages. So we've gotten this part of a word from Latin, this part from another language, and it's just all over the place sometimes. And the English language has many different parts of speech, or words that describe those words, words that can be categorized into different words, words that sometimes called homophones, synonyms, anonyms. And you didn't know that you were coming to church today to get a lesson in English, did you? Well, I'm not going to give you an English lesson, but I do want us to think about homophones today. And I've said the title of our message today is holy and holy. And they're two different words. They're what we call homophones. Homo means to be the same as. Homo sapien. We are Homo sapiens. That means we have the same genotype to make us humans. And the second word of this compound word is phones, which means to sound. So homophones are words that sound the same, but have a totally different meaning. So we have a homophone. Homophones are words that have a completely different meaning. You're familiar with them. Two, two, and two, right? So you might say go to the store or go unto the store. You might say, I really like Thanksgiving too. There too means also. And you might say, would you give me two glasses of water because it's really hot in here? Two is the number between one and three. They're homophones. So today our passage has a homophone that we're going to look at. And our verse that I want us to concentrate on, verse number 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy. This holy here is H-O-L-Y. 2 weeks ago, we examined that this word means to be set apart. It means the same thing as sanctify. This part of our building is a sanctuary. It's set apart for the worship and adoration of God. If we had VBS and we had bad weather and we were going to have some games, we wouldn't have them in here. We'd have them up in the fellowship hall or downstairs in the hallway or one of the classrooms. This building is set aside for the adoration, worship of God, and we wouldn't use it in other manners like other rooms. As I was pondering on this message 2 weeks ago, I was thinking about not only does God call us to be holy, H-O-L-Y, but God also wants us to do this holy, to live our lives holy and to live our lives holy. Holy, H-O-L-Y, set apart, but W-H-O-L-I-Y is also used in the Bible. And I think of holy, I think it means to be complete, fully, wholesome. In the Bible, it conveys the thought of being complete all the way to the end, sometimes absolutely perfect, or even in the position of rest. I'm wholly devoted to the Lord. You could use it in a sentence. So it means I'm at a place of rest. I've settled in the fact that I'm going to serve God. There's a hymn that kind of leads us toward that thought. It says, I have found a resting place, not found in decree, but found in Christ, my resting place. I'm there holy. So let's look at what the Bible makes some reference to, that God, we know, wants us to be holy. God says, be holy, H-O-L-Y, as I am holy. Be set apart, be distinct, but God also wants us to be holy. So let's look at some aspects of that. One of the first thoughts of the W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy in the Bible, is concerning the call of the tribe of Levi, the Levite tribe. Take your Bibles and turn back now to Numbers chapter 3 and verse number 9. Numbers chapter 3 and verse number 9. The Levite tribe is one of the sons of Jacob, or one of the sons of Israel, one of the tribes of Israel. And when the Israelites were going to go in the promised land, each tribe was going to be divided a portion of land, but the tribe of Levi was going to be treated a little bit different. They didn't get a distinct part of the land. And God is talking about the Israelites and the duties of the Levites in Numbers chapter 3. Now, this all came about because when they were coming back, and one of the things that the tribe of Levi stood up for God and God's ways at different places, and God chose them. But God also chose them. Do you remember that Moses and his brother Aaron and his sister Miriam, when the book of Exodus opens up, and it begins to talk about them, it says they were from the tribe of Levi. And Aaron was given the priesthood. And the descendants of Aaron are the only ones that become a priest. If Israel is able to build a temple again and begin their temple worship again, they will have to know that the sons of Aaron are the ones that they place in the line of being in the priesthood. And so in Numbers chapter 3, verse number 9, the Word of God says, and thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons, they are wholly given unto the Lord out of the children of Israel. Now God had told the Israelites, you are to dedicate each one of your firstborn unto the Lord. And that child is to be given unto the Lord. Now, God was teaching there through that and reminded them all the way back to the time they would leave out of Egypt. If you didn't put the lamb's blood on your door, your son would die. And God was also teaching that his son, Jesus Christ, would have to come and die for us. So the first place that we find holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, one of the first concepts in the Bible, is the tribe of Levi was to be given holy unto God. They were to be the priests. They were to be the ones who cared for the instruments in the tabernacle. When the tabernacle was picked up and moved from place to place, as the cloud moved by day, as the pillar of fire moved by night, who could move it? Only the tribe of Levi. They were set apart for that distinct purpose. The whole tribe of Levi was given to the Lord for the priesthood and for those worship parts of that. Now, let's look at a second thought about W-H-O-L-L-Y. Also, Numbers chapter 32. You're familiar with this. Numbers chapter 32. It's a very important episode in the life of Israel traveling, headed toward the Promised Land. It concerns the faith of Joshua and Caleb. The second thought today is the faith of Joshua and Caleb. Numbers chapter 32, verses 9 through 13. Numbers 32, 9 through 13. For they went up into the valley of Ishcol, and saw the land. They discouraged in the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go up into the land which the Lord had given them. Now, one sample, verse number 9 says, when these spies came back, 10 of them saying, we're not going to go up and take the land that God has given us. God has already promised to give it to them, and they said, we can't do it. Some approach salvation the same way. God says, I've given my son on the cross. He raised from the tomb, and I'm offering you the eternal life. And some people say, no, I don't want to take that. That's going to require too much of me. God's given it to you. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you the power to live for God. And people say, no, I don't want that. What God has already given, you reject it. And that's what the Israelites did. They rejected what God had given. We continue in verse 9. And they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled, built up like a fire. That's where we get kindling wood. Same concept. The same time, and he swears, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not, what? Wholly followed me. God says, I'm not going to give it to you because they have not wholly followed me. Verse 12. This is the good part. That was the bad part. Save, another word could be used there, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have, what, wholly followed the Lord. They've wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation which they had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. Not Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb kept marching on. Joshua and Caleb now were beyond 40 years old when they went into the Promised Land. And the Bible says their strength was just as it was as when they were younger, as they had gone out and spied the land. Because what? They had decided, I want to be holy, H-O-L-Y. I want to be set apart for God. And how do I want to do it? I want to do it holy. Let me ask you a question today. How do you want to live for God? God's got too many part-time Christians running around. God's got too many Sunday Christians running around. God's got too many Christians that are Christians when it's convenient. God doesn't call us for convenient Christianity. He calls us for a wholesome, holy, holy Christianity. Is your mind set? Is your heart set to be holy and holy? Mine needs to be. You know how we do that? We do that by renewing our mind over and over. Today I'm going to live holy. Today I'm going to live holy. Not tomorrow I'm going to live. Today I'm going to live holy. And so it was. The Bible says Joshua and Caleb, holy. These were two men of great and amazing faith. They stood against not only the other 10 men, but they stood against the will of the whole people, all them that were gathered there. It's no surprise to me of how often Christian parents will want to name their children what? Joshua or Caleb? Because of their character. Thirdly, holy is used in the third of the last of Moses' sermons, or one of the third last of Moses' sermons. Deuteronomy is Moses' farewell sermon, words of encouragement, words of challenge, words of correction, words of prophecy in Deuteronomy. And you can divide Deuteronomy into three sections or three major sermons. If you think I preach long, go read Deuteronomy. You'll be glad that I only preach as long as I do. Deuteronomy has a place where holy is used. Deuteronomy chapter 1. So it's right after a book that we're in there, Numbers. And Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 33 to 34. The Bible says, "And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and sware. Surely there shall not one of these men of the evil generation see the land which I swear to give unto the fathers, save Caleb, the son of Nethanu. He shall see it, and to him I will give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Also the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, Thou shalt not go into it hither. But Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go hither, encourage him, and he shall cause Israel to inherit it." And so, not only Joshua, the commentary of God about Joshua and Caleb was that they wholly followed God, Moses remembered that. Moses remembered it 38 years later. And I'm here to encourage us. I'm here to remind us that if we live holy and holy, that generations that come after us, they might not agree with us, they might not follow us, but they will remember that we were a person who was willing to live according to what God says and be holy and do it holy. What's your Christian life? Would you describe your life as holy, devoted to God? How would other people describe you? Well, you know what, old Chaz, man, he's, you know, Saturday night, he gets out his computer, he downloads a sermon real quick, he runs off to church on Sunday morning and preaches like he's wholly devoted to God, but come Wednesday through Saturday afternoon about 4 o'clock, you couldn't tell the difference between him and the biggest heathen around here. I never want people to be upset about me. No. I want people to come after me and say, I didn't agree with everything he said and taught, but I can tell you what, he did it with all of his heart. He was all in. He was all in. I remember an illustration years ago, and I may have used this before, and this guy was at a bungee cord jump, and he got all strapped in and everything, and he stood there at the platform, and he kept saying back to the guy behind him, and he gets up there and he says, but, and the guy behind him said, shut up and jump. We as Christians need to shut up with their excuses and jump wholly into doing God's will. Holy and holy. Fourthly, holy is used together in another text and another verse. Turn, if you would, now to the New Testament. We'll find both these words used together. Turn, if you would, to Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica. Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 15 and 14. If we get to Colossians, where there's four smaller epistles, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, right after that is 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. In 1st Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul is giving instructions to the folks there about how to live as New Testament believers. And verse number 15, it says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophecies or the teaching of the word of God. Prove all things, hold fast at which is good, abstain from all the appearance of evil. And the very God of peace shall sanctify you wholly. And I pray that God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, when I say that both words are used there, because the word sanctify is the same meaning, same thought, same idea as holy. So verse 23 could very well read, "And the God of all peace make you holy, holy. Make you holy, holy. Set you apart completely. And I pray that God, your whole spirit and your soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." Live holy, holy. Live holy, live separated lives to the fullest extent. Set ourselves apart. This is what God is saying. Now, how do we do that? I just decided to do it? No, we say, "God, I'm going to read your word. God, I'm going to study your word. God, I'm going to meditate upon your word. And I'm going to think about those principles and ask God to take what I'm learning from the word and the Holy Spirit, bring that out of my life." When God saves us, he seals us, and God fully equips us. He saves us to the uttermost, and God has already given us the fruit of the Spirit. Now, whether the fruit of the Spirit is displayed in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, kindness, against such there is no law. Whether those things are displayed in our lives is dependent upon whether we yield to God to do them, not whether God is equipped to do them. So sometimes some people say, "Well, you just got to understand, I'm not a patient person." Well, for the Christian, we don't have any excuse for that. We can say, "You just got to understand, I'm not a very obedient person." Now, that makes sense. But God has put all of that in us if we will do what the Word of God says. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Last one, fifthly, is not only Paul's instruction to a church body, but now Paul's instruction to an individual. See, when Paul tells the Thessalonians, "This is what I want your church to be," it's dependent upon individuals becoming that and doing that. So whatever we are as a church depends on what we are as individuals before we can become collectively. So Paul is teaching Timothy. Timothy is what we would probably consider a mentor, a mentee. Paul is a mentor, and Timothy is like a sidekick. Paul and Timothy have a similar relationship what in the Old Testament Moses had to Joshua. Moses was training Joshua. He took him on experiences. He gave him assignments. Paul does the same thing to Timothy. Oftentimes when Paul would go into a community and evangelize and settle a church, and because they were new believers in the Lord, no one was ready in that community to become a pastor because they were born again recently. And Paul would take Timothy and say, "Timothy, I need you to come over here and pastor this church until they can call their own pastor." And so Paul gives instructions to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, 14 through 16, and we'll close with that. Paul tells Timothy about being holy. He says, "Neglect not the gift which is in thee." What I was just saying a while ago. The Holy Spirit was in us. The Holy Spirit has not only given each one of us the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit has given every one of us, if we're born again, from the moment we're saved, God has given us at least one spiritual gift and maybe more. We have physical gifts. If you're good at coloring, you maybe use it, VBS, to color some of the things and decorate the church. That's not a spiritual gift. That's a physical gift. But God has equipped you to teach the Word of God. That's a spiritual gift. So we want to get before God and say, God, show me what you have uniquely equipped me to do in the body of Christ to do that. And so Paul says, Timothy, don't neglect the gift which is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy with the laying of the hands by the presbytery. Now, let's look at that a little bit, a couple things here. He said, which was given unto thee by prophecy. That doesn't mean they stood over him and said, Paul, I believe that you, Timothy, are going to do this. Prophecy is not only foretelling the future, but it's foretelling the truth. So as men of God came around him and worked with him individually, like Paul and others, they also laid hands upon him and probably had an ordination service. That's what it means by the laying on their hand. It doesn't mean they took him out by the woodshed. Now, when my mom and dad said that they need to lay hands on me, that's what they meant. Paul means something else different here. Some of y'all have experienced that. I see that smile, Kent. You know what it was. Mom and dad and I drove lilacs because they smelled good. That was one reason. It was another reason mom and dad had a bunch of lilacs around the house. You understand what that means. He says something else in verse 14. With the laying of the hands on the presbytery. That's a difficult word to say, but presbytery. That's where the Presbyterian Church gets their denominational name. We get our denominational name from baptism of believers. This here is a presbytery. It means a group of elders. So the Presbyterian Church are normally led by a group of elders that oversee the congregation. They have multiple pastors. That's what it means there, presbytery. And that's, I believe that's biblical, that a church should have deacons and elders. Deacons care for the physical needs of the body, and the elders care for the spiritual needs. I'm an elder of your church. In the New Testament, the word is sometimes translated pastor, sometimes translated elder, and sometimes translated bishop are all the same Greek word. So if you come up to me and say to me one morning, how are you, elder? That's fine. If you come up to me one morning and say, how are you, bishop? That's fine. If you come up to me and you say, how are you, pastor? That's fine. If you come up to me and you say, how are you, ugly? That's exactly also correct. So that's what that means. Verse 15. He goes on and says, meditate upon these things. That's a discipline in my life I need to work on. Meditating. I'm a go, 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 go. Used to be a go, 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 trying to do person. Neuropathy has changed a lot of that. Now I go, go, go and wish I wouldn't have went. But meditate is so important. So oftentimes we read a devotional. And Daily Bread does a good job of this. They'll have a section of verses and they'll have a one verse at the top. You know why that one verse is there? That's for us to meditate upon that verse. Meditate. It's sort of like, this is a crude illustration, but this is sort of what it's like. How many of you have ever seen a cow sitting in the field and chewing? They've regurgitated the food, and they're chewing it again. That's what meditate means. Think upon it again. Meditate. Christian biblical meditation is not this. Let your mind become empty. The folks that do that, mind has become so empty, their brain leaked out. That's not biblical meditation. Meditation is to ruminate upon, think upon. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself, what's the next word? Anybody got it? Who said it? Bob, you get a cookie. Holy. Meditate upon them wholly. How do we set our lives apart holy? We meditate upon what the Word of God teaches, the principles, holy to them. Give thyself holy to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. That's what I was talking about a while ago. Everyone should see us as a living billboard for the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be evident to all. Verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine, continue in them, and in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Deliver them. You'll keep delivering yourself from sin, and you have the ability to lead others away from sin. How do we do that? We do that by saying, God, I want you to sanctify me wholly. I want you to set me apart. Then, Lord, I give you permission. I think one of our speakers, one of our preachers said it one night. Maybe Brother Jeff said, God, you're allowed in every room of my life. We compartmentalize our lives so many times. Politicians have a way of doing this, compartmentalizing their lives. They say, well, I go to such and such church group, I'm part of such and such denomination, but I don't let that affect me how I vote. That's compartmentalizing. I'm this kind of person in legislative, and when I happen to show up on church on Sunday morning, I want to live this standard. Not what the Word of God teaches. It's to permeate every part of our lives. What if I did that as your preacher? If I said, you know what? I think that I should go down every week and help Lindsay and Barbara count the money. And because I want this to happen with the money, that's not the time for me to be honest, because that's at work. But the rest of the week, I'm honest. But when I count the money, I'm not honest. Would you let me keep counting the money? Probably not. All right? I'm not going to count the money anyway. A pastor friend of mine, Dallas Smith, told me my ordination service. I hope to never forget it. He said, Chaz, when you pastor, don't touch the money and don't touch the honeys and you'll be just fine. God wants us to live holy. H-O-L-Y. And God wants us to do it how? W-H-O-L-O-Y. Father, we thank you for the plain instruction of your word. Father, we realize as we approach your word, there's a lot of things that, there's a lot there. There's a number of things that could be interpreted different ways. But there's a lot of plain things. Father, I've heard it said before, the plain things are the main things, and the main things are the plain things. And I think it's very plain in the Word of God that we're to live holy and holy, to live set apart fully. And Father, we know that your Word teaches also that that's a daily decision over and over and over again. As the world, the flesh, the devil wants to draw us a place from being settled on you. Help us to be firmly affixed to your principles. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today needs to make a decision for you, that they need to dedicate their lives to you afresh and anew. They might do this during a time of invitation. If there's someone here today that says, you know, I've tried and tried to do all this for God and nothing seems to be happening, and maybe it's because they've never been saved, that they've been trying to live the Christian life by the flesh, instead of by the Spirit of God living in them and doing it for them. Lord, I pray if you're calling anyone to salvation today, they might step out and say, Pastor, I want to know that I know. And Lord, there might be something you're speaking in someone's heart that not even talked about today. Maybe it's they need to be biblically baptized. Maybe they need to join this church. Maybe they need to stop doing something in life or start doing something in life. Maybe they need to slow down in their Bible read and take time to meditate upon what God's Word says. Lord, you know the needs and you know the heart. And you know how to reach them and touch them. I pray you might do that and continue to do that in our invitation. I ask these favors in Christ's name. Amen.